Since the Sandbox fans, we are here wrapping up the defensive side of the ball for the positional rankings. A top 10 rundown on the year that just passed, with the 2023 season. I don't have any honorable mentions on this list, Juan, so I know you do. I think this one is a little bit more specific to the defensive tackles, those nose tackles that might not get a crazy amount of love throughout the season, so you guys might hear some new names. You might find some good players in the NFL that you might not got that recognition.
Absolutely, and there's only really one that I want to talk about, because I promised a rookie on every list, and there wasn't one on the defensive end list, because realistically, I don't think anyone was deserving of it this year. Yeah. Just there were
It's a tough position to make that immediate transition to.
Really, really tough, unless you're Micah in his rookie year, right? Yeah. So, Kalijah Kansi had an awesome year.
That's
a name that I did want to mention. You may see a teammate later, but Kalijah Kansi really had an awesome year. Blossomed towards the end of the season, and then in the playoffs, he looked really, really good. So, that's a name you got to keep your eye out for years to come. I think he's going to be pivotal on this list coming forward.
I absolutely agree, and I think, you know, already you can recognize him as probably a top 15, a top 20 player in that position, in both facets, run game and the pass game.
Exactly.
So, I think that he did just miss my list as well, but I think if we did 15 guys, he probably would have been a name that mentioned. But right at 10, his teammate, who I feel like, you know, has been dealing with injuries the past couple of years and things like that, but definitely when you talk about top defensive linemen, you have to bring this guy up. Vita Vea, absolutely great player. Been a part of the run with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and just being able to still be a leader in that team, in that locker room, when everybody counted out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year. So I feel like that's a huge testament to him. Obviously, the way Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans had played throughout the season, along with the evolution of Rashad White in that offense, absolutely tremendous. But Vita Vea, I feel like the defense starts and ends right there with him, along with, you know, Lavonte David.
Love that, Steve. At 10, stats aren't going to tell the story with this guy, but understanding where this team's defense was and what it became, I got a Liam McNeil of the Detroit Lions here.
Okay.
I think that the Detroit Lions' pass defense was atrocious, but their run defense was amazing. Top three, I think they were the third-ranked pass or defense against the rush this year. Aleem McNeil's a big reason why. It was very hard to run on this team because Aleem McNeil would just stuff the middle. He would completely stuff the middle. It was hard to get upfield on them. So I got him here at 10. I think he played a great season. And this is a guy that was drafted in 2021 in the third round. So I think we're starting to see him really come into his own. He's a guy to really keep an eye out for going forward as well.
Good player to grow with that defense, you know, on the line with Hutchinson, being able to have Campbell in Malcolm Rodriguez in the linebacker position. Obviously, talking about Branch and the investments that they need to continue to make on the secondary side of the ball for the defense. At 9, this guy is a little bit of a lower position where he was last year. Last year was an absolute phenomenal year. But when you look at his Pro Football Focus grade, you know, it might be, you know, a little bit more towards the top of the list. But this is where I have Quinnen Williams. I knew it was going to be low, like, coming in here. I honestly did. I think you'll respect some of the positioning that I have on some guys that you might like a little bit more than Quinnen Williams here. But I just feel like it was The Jets defenders all around statistically didn't have as huge of a year. Like, we talked about that with Sauce when we came to the cornerback rankings, and I still had him as my top. I feel like Quinnen Williams kind of fell down a little bit, and I just think it was because the defense didn't have that offense to complement them. And that wasn't the case last year either, but I honestly just feel like if they were on the field less, he would be more impactful. We saw a huge resurgence of his brother Quincy at the linebacker position, getting recognized as an All-Pro this year. Quinnen's an All-Pro and had an absolutely great season, but I just feel like it wasn't near that number that we were hoping to get from him. This is why I have him a little bit more on the back end, but I definitely expected this to be lower than your position.
At 9, Steve, this is where I had Vita Vea, not far off of where you had him. Don't want to go into too much depth because you've said it perfectly here. Had a good season. Again, it's not the best year he's had, but when you're talking about the top interior defensive lineman, Vita Vea is going to make the list every time. He is that good. He's an anchor on that defense, one of the hardest guys to run the ball against.
Yeah, run the ball, and like for somebody that isn't, you know, a finesse pass rusher that would just kind of like affect the middle of the pass pocket. I feel like he does, you know, a really good job with that too. But at eight, this is where I have DeForest Buckner. I feel like this was a huge move for the Colts when they were able to really get this acquisition on that side of the ball. Imagine he was still in San Francisco right now. Like, that would be pretty freaking scary. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't have said it any better. But eight sacks is a little bit lower than what we've seen from him in past years. We've seen him around like that 16 number, and I feel like with the fully healthy season in a revolutionized Colts team that we could see, you know, a little bit of a different performance from Buckner, but still enough to be a top 10 defensive lineman in this league. 11 tackles for loss, 7 pass deflections. We know how big of a dude he is. That's a huge number. And there's a lot of young talent. We talked about Blackman. We talked about Zaire Franklin on the list. Yep. This is another great guy on every single tier. Once they get a lockdown corner in Indy, it's a wrap.
I know, and they had one, and they let him go.
Yeah.
Leonard Williams is my number eight, Steve. I think
love
Leonard
it.
Williams had a great year. It was a little shaky in New York for a little, but the second he made that move over to Seattle, he was one of the top interior defensive linemen. He played absolutely incredible this year. 62 total tackles, 5.5 sacks. I mean, the guy played really, really good, and I get when we're talking about the interior defensive linemen, you're not hearing these numbers jump off the page. The numbers don't tell the story with these guys. These guys have impact that spreads way past statistics.
Yeah. So
Leonard Williams had an awesome season. Really excited to see what he does going forward in Seattle.
Yeah, and I'm happy that you know, showed some love to him. And it's weird because he's positioned as a defensive end, you know, on – you know, wherever they keep the statistics and stuff like that. But I do feel like he plays a lot more of the interior defense.
Correct.
I didn't keep him on this list because I was predominantly focusing on defensive tackles and nose tackles, where the edge I went for defensive end in outside linebacker position. But always going to love when you have a former Giant on the list. And I thought that that move was extremely beneficial for us. Like, I thought that that was a great trade that we had made. And it is just tough to be able to pay a Dexter Lawrence and him knowing that we're not winning. And that's going to be on the books for years to come.
Yeah.
So as much as it hurt, because I know he's a good player, I thought it was the right move. But here at seven, the only player besides
Duggar
that I would have from the Patriots on this list is Christian Barmore. I feel like this is a fair spot for him. I thought that
we're a Boston podcast.
Yeah, we're a Boston podcast, but I feel like putting him above Quinnen Williams would have you know, made a lot of people happy with that. I don't know if that's going to be the case on your list, so we'll see what
happens.
You're
going to have to find out.
but Christian Barmore, you know, I always talk about him in a high regard, a very great player coming out of Alabama and one of the bright spots for the New England Patriots going forward. I feel like his stats aren't going to be able to, you know, scream extremely successful season for the way that things worked out in New England, but he's a large part of what Jerod Mayo's hoping to do in New England going forward. And this is a guy that they're eventually going to give the Brink truck $100
million a year. $100
million a year?
Fuck.
No, you know what I mean? $100 million contract. Shit, I hope we never get to that point in the NFL.
Oh, my God, dude. Well, then the cap goes up. So
it is yeah, weird. I mean, it's already at $270 fucking million.
That's crazy money, dude. Javon Hargrave here at seven.
No Hargrave on the list.
I can understand it, but I was very, very impressed with how he played this season. I get Nick Bosa garners a lot of attention. I get they get Chase Young, and he garners some attention, even though he way underplayed except for the Super Bowl. Javon Hargrave played an awesome. And I get you can talk about Kinlaw and some of those guys, but like, every time I watch Javon Hargrave play, he jumps
he's
off
messing,
the page.
Yeah.
He's messing
up shit up.
100%. He's super disruptive. Had a great season, had 7 sacks as well. So from the interior position, it's pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
Javon Hargrave here at 7.
Love it. 6. We're showing a lot of love to the AFC East. I have a defensive tackle from every single team on this list. At 6, this is where I have Ed Oliver. Huge year out of Ed Oliver. 9.5 sacks, 14 tackles for loss. You talk about Gregory Rousseau on the edge list. A.J. Epinesa didn't jump off the page enough to be mentioned in that conversation, but another huge year from him. And it's crazy. You see all these draft picks out of Buffalo that are getting talked about in these types of conversation. Not once are we bringing up Von Miller, who's getting paid $45, $50, $60 million a year on that team. I think it's just that point in his career. And Personally, I feel like he's a better scheme fit on a 3-4 defense than a 4-3, if you want me to be really honest. And he's not somebody that's going to be affecting the run game as much, especially coming after like that huge ACL problem that he went through. So Ed Oliver, I feel like, doesn't get a lot of love and recognition. Not a name I'm expecting on your list, so I'm hoping that you surprise me here. But the AFC East, if I could say one good thing about it, is they got good interior defensive linemen.
Yeah, I'm going to surprise you, but it's not going to be for the good because it's six. I got Dexter Lawrence at six.
Oh, you want to talk about low?
Listen. I think I had Dex at five last year, which I think last year was a better year than this year, which was a little low, right? I might have had him a little bit higher than five, maybe, but again, he was in the top five last year, just missed this year. I think, again, he had a good season. There were some parts in the beginning part of the season where I was a little curious as to what his role was becoming. I just think full season, he had a little slow start for me to put him up above some of these guys. But overall, he's a top interior defensive lineman. He always will be. Just this season, I got him here at six.
That's okay. I'll reflect more on him once I get to him, but I'm still some spots away, so I just want to make sure that's understood. Dexter Lawrence, I feel like, is one of the top at the position, and I know that there's going to be some other big names that we mention here, but I feel like this dude going in his prime, that move trading Leonard Williams, I felt like only helped him become more of the player that he should be, and it's always great to pair great players with other great players, but when you have that opportunity to kind of take that role on your own, I feel like that's the difference, and that's why I'm going to talk about it later. But at five, this is where I have Christian Wilkins. He's been having great seasons down in Miami for some years now, and I just feel like this is a guy that affects the ground game. He affects the pass game, always causing havoc, and I feel like Miami has been able to really build their defense around him. I feel like he's the only standstill name that they've really had there. You know, they've added some edge players. They've added a Bradley Chubb. They added a Jaelan Phillips. They paid Emmanuel Ogba thinking that he was going to develop into this crazy pass rusher and was just released. But before Xavien Howard was a personality there, before Holland was there, before Ramsey was even winning Super Bowls on the Rams, Christian Wilkins was doing things here with Miami, and I feel like that's a name that they need to really show a lot of love to, because being able to have that great of an offense has to be complemented with some great defense, and his ability to do so consistently for years, I feel like, has been a large part of that and a huge thing that Mike McDaniels doesn't have to worry about, just having to pay this dude.
Like it. I didn't include him in here. I look at him almost in the way that you're looking at Leonard Williams, where I feel like he does play interior, but is he also marked as end, or is he marked as tackle?
He's marked as tackle. I compare him more to like a Daron Payne than a Leonard Williams, if you want me to be honest. And I think like, that's just Brunt, but it there's no Jeffrey Simmons on this list because he's missed so much time this year. Mm-hmm. But that's the perfect comparison, sure. If I could. I don't want to say a poor man's, because he's still a freaking great player, and that would be very disrespectful. But he's not at the level of Jeffrey Simmons. Agreed. But he's like just a tad under that.
Sure. So no Wilkins in my list, but at five, Aaron Donald. The lowest spot I think I've ever had him on a list.
Last year you didn't have him lower? He might not have been on the list.
I don't think he was
year.
On the list because of injury, but like as far as actively playing throughout the season, I don't know if it's just I expect the most out of Aaron Donald every time he steps on the field, but he still played fucking unbelievable. Top five, 100%. I hope to see him in your list.
Yeah, he will.
53 total tackles, 8 sacks, 3 pass deflections, getting triple teamed every single time. The definition of disruptor is Aaron Donald. The definition of MVP on a defensive side of the football is Aaron Donald. It's a shame that he hasn't gotten it. There was one year in his career where he could have, and I would have argued that he should have, but he didn't get it because that's not how the NFL rolls. Aaron Donald here, number 5, awesome season, even at his age, it's great to see.
Yeah, I do have Aaron Donald just a spot above my next positioning, and I'll talk about him a little bit more. But at 4, this is where I have Justin Madubuike. Is this the name on your list?
Not on my list, Steve.
Listen, an interior defensive lineman with 13 sacks and 12 tackles for loss. You're legit putting bums on this list compared to the season that he had.
Come on.
Dude, look. This guy helps Jadeveon Clowney become relevant in the NFL again. He allowed Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith to do their job at an excellent level, and being able to be disguised in the middle of a Ravens defense, a name that hasn't been talked about. Anthony, this dude doesn't have him on the list.
It's not spite this time. I don't got him in the list.
More shade to the Baltimore Ravens from Tuan
DeSavoy. It is not shade. It is not shade.
But look,
tell you what, there would have been a Raven on every single part of the list if they fucking beat the Chiefs.
But look, Vita Vea had a worse statistical season than Matt Ibuka. I know you're going to talk about Barmore. He had a worse statistical season than Matt Ibuka.
I'm not looking at, especially with D tackles, I don't give that much of a shit about the stats.
But how many times have you even watched a Ravens game to see what this dude's done?
Every fucking time.
Matt Ibuka, this is a absolutely superb season from this dude. And this isn't a guy that's going to come up with these numbers on every single given year, right? So when he does that, you have to show that love. You have to show that recognition. I mean, you can even argue that he had a better statistical season than Aaron Donald. And this is a guy that's just emerging to be the player that he will once be.
He's a great player. I like the guy. I think he plays very, very well. I just didn't have him on the list, Steve. It is what it is. It happens. And at four, guess what? You're going to hate me even more because I know you fucking love this team so much. Chris Jones here at four.
Oh, that's like now this is just getting disrespectful.
Chris Jones here at four. Again, he had a great season. I just think there's some guys that were more anchors on their team than Chris Jones was the anchor on their team.
I know. You said Aaron Donald already. You said Dexter Lawrence already. You said Chris Jones, and you didn't say Barmore. So let's see where this list gets Fugazi. Come on.
Number three, Christian Barmore here.
Exactly.
He is the best player on that defensive unit, and he's the only good thing going for that defensive unit outside of Kyle Duggar.
So that does not deem him a better player than any of those guys.
I think he played out a much better, not much better. I think he had a better season than Chris Jones. I think he had a better season than a lot of the other guys they have here lower on the list.
I literally could not disagree anymore, and I would be lying if I didn't tell you guys that his Chiefs bias didn't go into that, or his New England bias didn't go into that.
Pish posh, dude. He played fucking unbelievable on a defense that had a bunch of no-names on it, and he had to hold it down. Now, the Pats suck this year.
What did he hold down?
He was holding teams to sub-13 points a game. Holding teams to sub-13 points a game.
Getting lost. Losses.
But what is he going to do when his own quarterbacks and his own offense are putting up multiple goose eggs? There was more than one time that we got goose eggs.
At three, Aaron Donald. This is where I have him, a Pro Football Focus grade of a 90 and 16 tackles for loss. Not a season that you would have jumped off the paper saying, oh my God, this is Aaron Donald's best season. But like you said, healthy and back getting that recognition. Definitely feel like he had some MVP presences in years past. I thought the same with J.J. Watt, and they don't award it to the defensive side of the ball. It is the way it is. But back at three here, I don't think he had the best defensive tackle season. There are some names that I do have above him that I feel like need to properly get recognized as such. Two, I have Dexter Lawrence. Look.
Giants bias.
Yeah, okay. With a 93 Pro Football Focus grade that Christian Barmore couldn't sniff, getting double teamed every single play, not happening for Christian Barmore because Judon's there in a bunch
Judon
of...
Judon was hurt all year.
Okay, but in the beginning of the season, that wasn't happening when you guys were making the deploy, right? The deploy push, right? So see how it changes every single time? It's crazy. But Dexter Lawrence's performance would never shine with the stats because of the size of the dude that he is in the position that he plays. You know, you're not going to see a 15, 20 sack season every single year from this dude. You're going to see the stuffs, but I feel like what he allows Kayvon Thibodeau to do is shine at his position. And, you know, the Giants aren't a team that are notably known for stuffing the run, with the exception of Bobby Okereke, who was mentioned in, you know, the linebacker positioning. But Dexter Lawrence is one of these standstill names at this position, going to be a name that we recognize here for years to come, and honestly is on the path to be one of the better Giants that have happened in the past decade. And at one, this is where I have Chris Jones, who I feel like with all the disrespect, the contract talk, the missing camp, all the hoopla that you want to say about the Chiefs and Chris Jones, still here being the best at the position, having the sack numbers, the tackle for loss numbers, 11 sacks, 13 tackles for loss. You got the pass deflections, causing the impact in Look, we can't just disrespect the fact that the Chiefs' defense was the reason why they were so good this year. You could say you can credit a lot of that to the corners and McDuffie and
Bolt. You can talk about Bolton.
You can talk about Nick Bolton. Why am I drawing a blank on the other cornerback?
Sneed.
Yeah, and Legarius Sneed absolutely balling out, but none of that's possible without Chris Jones leading that. I look at Chris Jones the same way I view Patrick Mahomes for that offensive unit on the defensive side of the ball, and I think Chris Jones is the best defensive lineman this year, no doubt.
At my two, I get a guy that never gets talked about, like almost in the Cam Hayward sense. Derrick Brown is the only good thing that they have going there other than maybe Brian Burns. The guy's playing D-tackle and he had 103 total tackles. I get that stats aren't telling the whole story. Derrick Brown still played very, very good this year. Just watching him play, he is a true run stuffer. He's a true defensive tackle right in the middle of the field. He's really what they got going outside of Brian Burns.
Honestly, I love Derrick Brown and Brian Burns. I just feel like their defense was so bad this year, regardless of how great of players that they are. It's really tough for me to give them that recognition.
Yeah, I mean, their defense was 100% terrible, so I get that.
They have players, J.C. Horn, they got Jeremy Chin. Like, I like their defense. Their offense didn't help them at all.
At all, because their offense would kick fucking 3 field goals and score 9 points.
Yeah, Eddie Pinheiro is the all-star of their offense.
100%. But at one, I have Quinnen Williams as my top defensive tackle.
Wow.
I think he played absolutely incredible this year. The numbers aren't going to tell the story. The guy is, again, a true disruptor, doubled, tripled on every play. In the same sense that Aaron Donald is consistently picked up, Quinnen Williams is always getting picked up. And I think that he allowed for the other players on that defense to really shine in the way that you mentioned Chris Jones did, where he lets the corners play a lot better. He lets the middle linebackers play a lot better.
Yeah.
Quinnen Williams let his brother play better.
CJ Mosley.
Sauce, again, had a great year it's not because of just Quinnen Williams, but it's
affecting the quarterback only helps make those guys, because they have to anticipate the rush with thinking less about that cornerback or that linebacker dropping in coverage or that safety disguising in the back end.
100%. And again, allows for a guy like CJ Mosley to continue to have a good year, even at the age of 33, 34. So overall, great season from Quinnen Williams. That's how we finish it off here. Number one, Quinnen Williams for me.
No, I definitely think that I could have had Quinnen Williams a little bit higher there. But I will say, your 2-6, I thought was going to go a lot differently. Since the Sandbox fans, you let us know how your defensive line rankings would have went. Is Twan crazy? Maybe I'm the crazy one. We're getting to the offensive side of the ball, so I know that you guys are going to be real excited for that. But wrapping up the defensive positional rankings, a lot to come, a lot working on. Make sure you guys are following on the YouTube for everything UFC or just, some headline talk. Peace, love, 5 stars, nothing less.